Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Lamed Vov. If you prefer, you may count 25 lines down from the top. You will find at the beginning of the line a special marking we call a firebox. The firebox indicates that the topic that follows will preoccupy us for a long time, at least an omid of Gemara. Under our nosei / mivneh heading that you see to the side of the Gemara, in our margin, the nosei being the topic heading and the mivneh structural note, we indicate that this will continue until Omid Beis, this topic, and the title of the topic is Shomer Shemosar LeShomer. A shomer, a bailey, was entrusted with watching an item, and he transferred it to another shomer. According to Rav, and you can see we have a special double underline, we are using this to highlight the name so that you can have quick reference back to their opinions. Rav says that if anything happens in the destruction, loss of the entrusted item in the possession of the second shomer, the first shomer is exempt. There is, in other words, there is nothing wrong with the original shomer that you trusted in his giving it to someone else. The Rabbi Yochanan Chayav. Rabbi Yochanan says that that's an irresponsible act. He should not have transferred it to the next shomer. I describe it as an irresponsible act. We'll call it a prohibited act. We'll see more details as to why there is culpability. And we will see diamonds in our Gemara that highlight the expressions L'taime D'Rav, where Abaye features Rav in exempting and how far that exemption actually goes. And in contrast, we have a diamond around the time of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that there is guilt on the part of a shomer, shomoser l'shomer. How far does that guilt go? How far does Rabbi Yochanan go in saying chayef? Now the Gemara. Itmar, shomer, shomoser l'shomer. A shomer, a bailey, someone entrusted with watching an item, who gave it over to someone else to watch. Rav Omar Potter, Rav Yochanan Omar Chayav. Rav says he is exempt. Rashi, across from here, we have a little star right in the Rashi that makes it easier for you to find it. Rav Omar Potter, Mikol Ma Shoyaniftar Im Shomra Hu Atzmo. We have to first focus in on what the original Shomer's level of obligation was. And if something happens to the item that the first Shomer would have been exempt for, and that event takes place, that loss takes place while in the possession of the second Shomer, the first Shomer will be exempt. This will hopefully become much clearer as we go ahead in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says Chayav, and Rashi adds, even Ba'oinsin. That means that first Shomer was acting recklessly. So that even if Ones happened, which Ones is the loss as a result of events beyond your control, even if an onus took place, which would, generally speaking, exempt not only a shomer chinom, an unpaid Bailey, who generally isn't very obligated, even a paid Bailey, who carries a higher level of responsibility, in general, when ones happens, he is exempt. However, if it's a shomer shemosar la shomer, Rabbi Yochanan says that that will generate obligation on the part of the first shomer, even if the loss or destruction of the object is through ones. Now, the Gemara, it continues. We have a long point. This is a point made by Abaye. Omar Abaye, L'taime de Rav, according to Rav, that said, Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is exempt. Lo mi baya, I don't need to tell you, Shomer Chinam Shemoser L'Shomer Zohar, where the original entrusted party was going to guard gratis, Chinam, without pay. And he gave it over to a second Shomer, who was going to watch for pay. De'aliye alya L'Shmiroso. There is a raising in quality of Shmira. When we speak of raising of quality, of guarding, that's because the Shomer Socher carries greater responsibility. And he who carries greater responsibility, you can rest assured, he will put himself out more for the protection of the item. So, in a case of Shomer Chinam Shemoser L'Shomer Socher, where the first Bailey is, we'll say, acting in good faith, he's raising the level of Shmira. If something happens, if there's a loss of the item in the domain of that second Shomer, the first Shomer will be exempt. Needless to say that there's no element of Pshia in Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer. A Shomer Chinom, as we said before, bears very little responsibility by way of different scenarios. The one case that he does bear responsibility is where he is reckless. He's poshea. So, a shomer chinam, who gives it to a shomer sochar, there he's raising the level of shmir. So certainly, if the item is lost or destroyed in the domain of the shomer sochar, that shomer chinam is going to be exempt. Elo afilu shomer sochar shemosar l'shomer chinam. But even a paid Bailey who gave it over to a second Shomer, unpaid, the Grui Gara L'Shmiroso, he is lowering, diminishing the quality of the guard. Potter, the Shomer Chinam is exempt. In other words, that's not considered reckless. My taimo, why is that considered within the realm of responsible behavior? Tohomosu le bendas, he gave it to someone who is a bendas, a responsible, a person that has his wits about him, a responsible individual. Ulutaime de Reb Yochanan, as far as Reb Yochanan is concerned, that Shomer, Shemosar L'Shomer bears responsibility. Lo Mibaya, I don't have to tell you that the first Shomer will be obligated to compensate. As we said before, even in a case of Oynis, Shomer Socher, Shemosar L'Shomer Chinam de Grue Gar L'Shmiraso, where the first Shomer that you hired as the owner, you hired a paid Bailey. And he, in turn, gave it to someone not paid, where he's diminishing the quality of guarding, that the first Shomer, the Shomer Socher that you hired, will have to compensate, even in the case of Linus. But even if what the man you sought out was going to watch gratis, and he raised the level of Shmira by transferring it to a paid Bailey, that Shomer Chinam is going to bear responsibility. the Omar Lay, the owner, says, Ein Ritzoni Shepigdoni Biad Acher. I don't want my item to be in someone else's possession, even if he happens to be a Shomer Sochar. Up till this point in the Gemara, it would appear that you have a real machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan regarding Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer. At this point, you'll notice we have a long point marking. Rav Chisda comes to tell us that the statement that Rav holds, Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Potter, is not something that Rav actually said in an explicit fashion. Rather, according to Rav Chisda, an event took place in which Rav was involved, and Rav issued a ruling of exemption, of potter, of innocence. Those who saw the event thought, or they concluded, that Rav's exemption was because he holds in general, Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is exempt. It's an act of, it's a responsible form of behavior. However, Rav Chisda says, all of that is a mistake. In other words, concluding from the event that we'll see in the Gemara that Rav holds exemption, that does not indicate that Rav holds a general exemption for Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer. But rather, Rav Chisda will tell us that Rav's exemption as expressed in the upcoming Gemara is specific to the case that will be featured. So that at the end of this long point, you will come away with the feeling or the distinct impression that Rav does not hold Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Potter. In fact, as a result of that, no one holds Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Potter. But rather, the rule is like Rabbi Yochanan presented it, Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Chayav. As a result of that, the Gemara, at the end of the narrow lines, beginning of the wide lines, starts a series of questions and answers that we will indicate with a volcano shape, which is also featured on the side of the Gemara. The narrow part of the volcano shape represents Kushyos al Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, and the inverted volcano or trapezoid represents Tshuvos. So the Gemara will be analyzing Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, and it's my thinking that of course you're going to analyze Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, because really there is no other Shita anymore at that point. So what we'll end up having at the end of the narrow lines is Rabbi Yochanan holding Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Chayav. We'll see then Rabbi Abba Bar Momo raising a question, and then there will be a back and forth discussion. Do you really hold Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Chayav? If you follow the markings, the volcano shape, you'll notice that at the bottom line, you're left with an inverted volcano shape, indicating that whatever questions were raised on Rabbi Yochanan are then finally answered. Now the Gemara. We pick up with Rav Chisda at the beginning of the long point. Omar Rav Chisda. Ha de Rav. That which was said in the name of Rav, that Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is Potter, Lav Beferush Itmar, it was not stated explicitly by Rav, a rule that Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer is exempt. Ela Michlola. It was inferred or derived from an event. And when you see throughout the Shas, almost all the time, when you see this expression, Lav Beferush Itmar Ela Michlola, it indicates that there is a fault in whatever had been said. If it was not said explicitly, and the information was derived information, and this phrase appears, lav beferish itmar lemichlol itmar, you realize that you have a you have something that's going to be questioned or even rejected. So Rav, who was reported as saying shomer shemosel shomer's potter, never said so explicitly, but rather it was derived from an event. Dehano ginoi, there were ginoi. Ginoi are people that raise vegetables. Dechol yoima have a mifkidi marayu gaboda hisavta. Every day they would entrust their hoes, their morayu is a garden implement, a hoe, a shovel, by a particular savta, an older woman. She was entrusted all the time, on a daily basis, to watch, to guard their implements. Yom Echad, one day, afkidinu legabi chad minayu. They entrusted the implement by one of their own, one of themselves. Shoma kola behilula. That one who was entrusted on that day with the implements happened to hear sounds outside, sounds of a wedding procession. Nofak ozal afkidinu legaboda hi safta. So he went out and took the garden implements and entrusted them by that woman. Now, that would appear to be shomer shemosel shomer. Ad ozal viosa. By the time he came back, ignev marayu, the shovels or the hoes were stolen. Also the kamei the Rav upatre. So he came to Rav. The case was brought to Rav's attention, and he exempted the first fellow from any obligation to compensate. He was, in all likelihood, a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam is exempt for geneva. True, the geneva did not take place from his domain, but rather from the safta's domain. But we, as we said earlier, according to Rav, any event that takes place in the second shomer's domain that would have carried exemption for the first, if it had happened in the first shomer's domain, so he is exempt. So Rav ruled that the first shomer, in this case the fellow gardener, is exempt, led people to believe that man dechaza, one who saw that, sovar, came to the conclusion, mishum shomer shemosa l'shomer poter. Rav says there's exemption because there's nothing wrong in a shomer giving to another shomer. V'loihi. And that conclusion is erroneous. You can't make from this case a general rule. Shiny Hossam, that case is different. The case with the Ginoi and the fellow gardener giving it to the Safta, that's different. There's reason there for exemption. The Chol Yoima Nami Inhu Gufayu Gabo Tai Safta Havu Mafkidi Lehu. That day, I should not say that day, but every day other than that day, on an ongoing basis, those ginoi, those gardeners, used to entrust their garden implements by that woman. So this is not a case of a shomer that gave it to some odd guy out there, some random outsider shomer. They, in this case, the first shomer gave it to the daily shomer that they always relied on. So it's not, this doesn't characterize general cases of shomer number one, original shomer, giving it to some outsider that the original owner isn't familiar with, isn't aware of. In this case, the original shomer gave it to the very shomer that those owners always relied on. Yosef Rabbi Ami v'ka'omar lo l'hashmaitza. Rabbi Ami was seated and he said over Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer is Chayev. Eisvei Rabbi Abba Bamamol Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Abba raises as a question our Mishnah, the Mishnah from Daf Lamed Hey Omed Beis. Hasecher Pora Mechavero Vishila Le'Acher. Someone rented a cow and he loaned it to someone else. And what happened? Umesa Kedarka. And it died a regular death. Ishova Hasecher Shemesa Kedarka. The socher has the option of swearing that it died a normal death and thereby be exempt. Vashoel Mishalei Masocher. And the shoel pays the socher, as we saw in our previous shiur and discussed this extensively. But we want to focus on right now is the idea that the socher, the renter, can gain exemption. The Im Esau, if it is so, like Rabbi Yochanan says, that Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer is Chayov, and why is Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer Chayov? We saw the Hesber before. The explanation was, original owner says, I don't want my item in someone else's possession. I don't care who he is. I don't care how much responsibility he carries. I don't want my item in someone else's possession. Well, if that is a claim that an original owner can make, lay mole, let the owner say to the renter, Ein ritzoni she pikdoni, biad acher. I don't want my item in someone else's hands. How then does the Tanaic source say that the socher, isn't he swears, he is exempt, doesn't have to pay? Is that not a question on Rabbi Yochanan? Omar le, so Rabbi Ami answered, Rabbi Abba Bar Momo's question, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey Omid Beis. Our Mishnah is speaking about B'shenosnu Loi Habaylim Rishus Lahashil. The original owner, when renting it to the renter, gave him permission. Listen, you know, you're renting my animal. If while you're renting it, you want to loan it to someone else, go right ahead and do it. So there's no issue of Ein Ritzoni Shepikduni Biaracher. The owner clearly gave permission for his pikadon, the rented item, to be in someone else's possession. The Gemara asks, if the Mishnah there is happening under the, we'll say, the permission, under the jurisdiction of the original owner, then lebailim boi lishlumi, then the payment that the Mishnah speaks of, where the after the animal dies, the shoyel pays for the death of the animal, shouldn't that payment be made to the original owner? The Gemara answers that when the original permission was granted by the owner to the renter, the omru lay, the original owner said to the renter, L'daitcha. Here we need Rashi. Rashi that we'll look at together, around 9 lines up from the bottom. L'daitcha. Ki ritzoncha. You want to loan it to someone else? As you wish. Im tirtze lashilolo, yemei schiruscha. If you want to loan it to someone during your rental period, Ein onu makpidim. We have no objections. We, the original owners, have no objections. Hilkoch hu hishila. Therefore, the loan of the cow was done, was initiated by the renter. V'habaylim ein yicholim lomar ein ritzoneinu. And on the other hand, the original owner can't make the claim, we didn't want our animal in someone else's domain. Mosiv Rami Bar Chama. Here we have a question that takes us to the bottom line. Rami Bar Chama now challenges Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. Rabbi Yochanan taught, Shomer Shemosu L'Shomer is Chayav. We're going to now read a Tanaic source. The Tanaic source indicates the transfer of an item from one party to another, and there's culpability, but we're going to infer from this source that we're about to read, the culpability is because there was reckless behavior, gave the item to minors. But if the item had been transferred from, we'll say, Shomer 1 to Shomer 2, second Shomer who is an adult, there would have been exemption. That is going to be our question on Rabbi Yochanan. So now let's see in the source. Mosiv Romi Bar Chama, Hamafkid Mois Eitzel Chavero. Someone entrusted cash by his friend, Soron Vivshilon Lacharov, if he tied them up and slung them over his back. Mosron Livno Bitok Tanim. The original Shomer gave the cash over to his, or he gave it to his children that are minors. Bino, his son, Bito, his daughter, Akanim, that are minors. Or, Vinoal, or I should say, Vinoal, Bifneim, Shalo, Karoi. Rashi points out that this is a continuation of his having entrusted it to his minor children, and then he walked out without locking the door properly. Something happened to the money, got stolen. Chayov, Shalom, Shomar Kederach HaShomrim. He is guilty because he didn't watch as proper Bailey's watch. We infer from here, Taimo Diktanim, the reason that he is Chayav is because he entrusted it by his minor children, HaGedolim Potter. Had he entrusted the cash by adult children, the original Shomer would have been exempt. Here we have then a case that we have inferred, Shomer Shemosar LeShomer, original Shomer giving it to his adult children to watch. He would have been exempt. Am I? Why should there be exemption? Name Olay, let the owner of the money say, what did you do giving it to your children? It's not my desire that my item should be in someone else's hands. I gave it to you. What are you doing giving it to your children to watch? Oh, my Rava. Rava answers, Kol Hamafkid. When you entrust, anyone who entrusts items to a Shomer, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Aldas Ishtoi Ubonov Hu Mafkid. He does so, original owners do so, knowing that the Shomer is going to involve in the Shmira, the original Bailey is going to involve in the guarding, the supervision, his wife and his children. And with that information, we now understand why an original owner can't say, well, what'd you do giving it over to your kids? With the claim, I don't want my item in someone else's possession. You knew at the outset when you gave it to a Shomer, he's going to involve his wife and children in the watching. So that's why over there in the Tanaic source you saw we inferred from it exemption. But if you give it to a Shomer and he gives it to some stranger Shomer, a second person outsider to watch, that would be Chayev. We have a point here, a long point marking. Amri Nahardoi, Daiko Nami. By careful reading, you can see that that point, the inference that we made, that the Gedolim Pturin, it said, we inferred from the source we read, Gedolim Pturin is only if it's his Bonov Beno Ubito Ha Gedolim. Not an outsider adult, there would be no exemption then. So Daikonami, by careful reading, we see that this the inference of Hog Gedolim Potter is limited. The exemption is limited to Beno Ubito, to his son or daughter, the adults, not an outsider. Dikotoni, it's said in the source, the source was speaking about one who entrusted money, and the guarding was done in an irresponsible fashion. And what did it say in the source? It said, "Oishe masran livnoi ubito haktanim chayav." And we infer, "Ha livnoi ulubito hakdoilim potter." And from that we can in turn infer, "Michlal dileachirim," if the transfer from original shomer was to some stranger outsider as opposed to his children, then lo shno gedoilim velo shno ktanim chayav. If it were an outsider, we would make no distinction between adult and certainly minors, that there would be guilt for having given it to a second party. De'im kein, that means that if you were to think that even with regard to outsiders, a distinction is made between gedolim being giving it to a second party adult exempt, giving it to a second party minor is guilty, results in guilt. If that were so, lisnik tanim stama, in the source that we saw at the bottom of Omen Aleph, Hamachgid Mois, in that source, instead of teaching Mosron Livnoi Ubito Aktanim, it could have simply said, he gave it to Ktanim, to minors. Let me read that again. De'im Kain, if it were so, that Shomer Shemosu L'Shomer is exempt because you gave it to an adult, but giving to a minor would have resulted in guilt. So let the source teach Ktanim Stamo instead of Bino Ubito, without limiting the exemption, the guilt to Bino Ubito Ktanim. Teach giving it to Ktanim in general results in guilt. Why did the source teach that the guilt is giving it to Bino Ubito Haktanim? Shma Mino. From here we see conclusively that the source was taught with the intention of making the inference that guilt is only when you're dealing with Bino Ubito Haktanim, as opposed to Bino Ubito Hakdolim. So within children, there is room to make that distinction. However, with regard to outsiders, there is no room for that distinction, because Shomer Shemoso L'Shomer, even when the second party is an adult, that would carry guilt on the part of the first Shomer. No different than having that first Shomer give it over to a minor. We continue with another point. We call this a long point. Omar Rava Hilchasa Shomer Shemoso L'Shomer Chayav. Like Rabbi Yochanan taught, Lo mibaya shomer socher shemoser l'shomer chinam degrui gar l'shmiraso. I don't need to tell you when the original shomer was a higher quality shmira, a shomer socher giving it to a shomer chinam, where there is a decrease in level of shmira, grui gar l'shmiraso. Even in a case where there's an upgrade in the level of Shmira, where you entrusted it to a Shomer Chinam, someone who would watch gratis, and he transferred it to someone who would be watching for pay. Nevertheless, that is an act of irresponsibility, and the Shomer Chinam, the first Shomer, will bear responsibility, even in the case of Ones. My time off, what's the reason for that? Now, up till now, we had heard a reason for that. We had heard Abaye give a reason for that back on Omid Aleph, and we have a little star even, you can see where he said that the owner has a claim. I don't want my item to be in someone else's possession. But that's not the answer, that's not the explanation that we're going to hear right now. My taima, Why is it that Shomer Shemoser LeShomer is Chayav, even where there's an upgrade in the Shmira? The Omar Le, the owner can say to the Shomer, to whom he had entrusted it, At Mehemis Li Beshvua, Hech Lo Mehemin Li Beshvua. I trust you when you, with regard to an oath, if something happens and you claim exemption, I believe you. I don't believe that other guy. So that if, let us say, the you were a Shomer Chinam, you would have been exempt because of Geneva. And now I have to know about the Geneva through the oath that the second party will swear. And then that would reveal to us that there was Geneva. But I don't trust his oath. So that I have no way of knowing that it was really Nignav. And therefore, there's no grounds of exemption. There's nothing based on which the first Shomer can seek exemption. Rashi adds, when we speak about Bishvua, you are believed to me when you swear. And part of the swearing, we mentioned this on previous occasions, that part of the oath is Shelo Posha, Rashi says. I believe you when you say that you are not reckless with it, but I don't believe the other guy. And as far as I'm concerned, he was reckless with it, or he consumed it, or whatever. And therefore, Shomer, Shemoser LeShomer, is Chayav. I want to emphasize that awareness of this difference in explanation. Abaye, who explains Shomer Shemoser LeShomer is Chayav based on Ein Ritzoni Shepikdoni Biyad Acher. Awareness of that, of the difference between Abaye's explanation and Rava, who explains At Mehem Isli B'Shua Behech Lo Mehem Li B'Shua. This, we'll say, distinction, this awareness of two opinions will figure very importantly later on in the Gemara on this daf. So now, let's continue with the Gemara. We have a topic heading that reads, Posha Bo, a Shomer acted irresponsibly for Yotzo Slagam, and because of, like, leaving the door open, the animal just walked right out to the fields. And there in the Agam, the marshes, the wet fields, Umesa Kadarka, it died a normal death. That's an onus. The concept of Tchiloso B'Pshia V'Soifa B'Oines will figure prominently in this Gemara. That phrase describes these kind of events where the initial behavior on the part of the Shomer was one of recklessness. But the eventual, we'll call it casualty, the eventual loss or destruction was not as a function of that initial act of recklessness, but the actual loss was through something that over which you had no control. Does that result in guilt or innocence? There are different opinions on that topic. Structurally, you'll notice in our markings we have a diamond featured and later a bow tie, and we have also a double underline. On the side under our Mivneh heading, the diamond introduces Abaye and Rava, both of whom quote Rabba. So we have two versions of Rabba that will appear in the Gemara, and the bow tie shape will highlight my timer. What is the reason for these respective rulings? Now the Gemara. Itmar. Posha bo v'yotzos la'agam umesa kedarka. A shomer was entrusted with an animal. He was irresponsible, and as a result of that, the animal went out to the to an unguarded area. Rashi points out the Yotzos La'agam Mokoim She'eno Mishtamer Sham Eitzel Ze'evim V'lo Eitzel Ganovim. It's a place that it's exposed to wolves, to thieves. Umiu Lo Achlua Lo Ze'evim V'lo Ganovim. However, in the story that we're going to see, the loss of the animal is not a result of those factors, the wolves nor the thieves. The wolves and thieves would have been, we'll say, direct results of pshia, of recklessness. However, in the case presented by the Gemara here, that's not what resulted, that's not what caused the disappearance of the animal. Rather, it died. We continue in the Gemara. Abaye Omar Mishmei Derabo Omar Chayav. Let me read that again. Abaye Mishmei Derabo Omar Chayav. Abaye, in the name of Rabo, says that the Shomer is Chayav, has to offer restitution. Rava Mishmei Derabo Omar Potter. And now we go over those opinions. Abaye Mishmei Derabo Omar Chayav. And to emphasize his point, he says, "Kol dina, any judge the doin ki hai dina, that doesn't judge thusly lav dina hu, isn't a judge. Doesn't deserve to be called a judge." Abaye says that there is guilt in this case. Lo midbayo lemandomar tchilosu bepshia v'soifa boines chayav. Needless to say, according to the opinion that holds that cases that begin with recklessness, though the destruction is through ones, but nevertheless guilt is born, dechayav, that opinion would rule in this case. There is culpability. Elo afilu lemandomar poter, hocho chayav. But even according to the opinion that says in general tchilasa b'pshia v'soifa ba'ines is exempt, here there will be guilt. My taima, why over here is there guilt? The amrinon, as we say, hevlo di agmo katla. It was the bad air, it was the suffocating atmosphere of the agmo, the very place that it wandered out into, that killed it. So that the beginning was pshia, and its death was as a result of pshia circumstances, because of the agam. It was going to wander out there from the outset. So you don't have an illustration here of sofa ba'inus. Rava Omar, Mishmei de Rava. Let me read that again. Rava Mishmei de Rava Omar Potter. And he has the same opening, called Dina de lo doin ki aidino lav dainu. Anyone who doesn't judge like this, that doesn't say exempt, is not a judge. And how far does Rova go? Lo mi bayo le mando mar tchiloso bevshio v'soifa boines potter, de potter. Needless to say that one who rules that in cases where the beginning was recklessness, but the end was oines, that there is exemption. Here, there would be exemption. Elo afilu lemandom archayov, even according to the opinion that chilasa b'pshia v'soif b'inis is culpable, hacha poter. Here, there is exemption. The reason for that, why over here in this case is there exemption according to everybody, says Rava? My taima, what's the reason for that? The amrinon, malach amavis, the angel of death, the one responsible for the animal's normal death, mesa kedarka, the malach amavis that's responsible for the death of the animal. Mali hocha umali hosam. What difference does it make where the animal was? Just like its death in the agam you would call oines, so too had it died here, where in the stall where the door was left open, it would have died the same way. So that you don't have tchila b'pshia. The angel of death would have gotten to it anywhere. Umodi Abaye, Abaye, who had ruled strictly or guilty, he will concede Di Hadra Lebe Mora Umesa, if the animal had returned from the marshes back to the owner's house, where the door had been left open, and it Umesa had died in the owner's house. I should say in the original original Shomer's house, the Shomer would be innocent, would be exempt from paying the potter. Why? My taima, the hadra la, it came back. The lekol meimar hevla the agmal kotlan. There's no basis for saying that the bad air of the marsh caused its death. Umodi Rava. Rava, who before had ruled potter, exempt from payment, he will concede that there is guilt. Kolhecha de ignava ganav be'agam umesa kedarka be'ganav dechayev. In the case where the animal had wandered out because of initial recklessness, the animal made it to the marsh and it was stolen from the marshes, and the animal died in the thief's domain, the shomer in that case would be chayev. My taima, why is that? The animal died, didn't it? So Rava explains, De'i shafka malachamoves. Let us say in that case the animal would not have died. Literally, the angel of death would have let the animal alone. Where's the animal, though? The beisei deganvo have kaimo. The animal is in the house of the thief. And regarding theft, where you left the door open, and it wandered out into a place that thieves can get to it, that carries with it guilt. We should take a look at the Rashi. The Ignava Ganav Meagom. Rashi says a few lines up from here. Shezeu Dover Shehu Pshia Eitzel Yitziosa Lagam. That is an example of recklessness. In other words, in that case where it was stolen from the agam, you've got tchilaso b'pshia, the door was left open. You don't have sofo b'ones, because the fact that it died in the domain of the thief is irrelevant. Even if it remained alive, it still would have been stolen, not by the shomer. And therefore, as Rashi goes on to say, afal pi shesofo mesa beganav, even though in the end it died by the ganav, the lo, he's still chayav, the original shomer's chayav. The lo omar ihave bebeis shomer nami have mesa. And there is no claim here by saying that even had it been in the shomer's house, it would have died. Rashi goes on, my taima, mishas kineva hi avuda min abaylim. From the point that it was stolen, it was already not available to the original owner. Tinami shofka malachamoves be ganav have kaima. Even if it had not died in the thief's domain, it still would have been in the thief's domain. Hilko chachiv bo lo al shas hagineva. The culpability comes to the shomer as a result of the point of theft. And as Rashi explained before, regarding the theft, there was pshia, leaving the door open, enabling the animal to wander out into the marsh. As we saw earlier in Rashi, the marsh was a place that thieves could get to it. And therefore, it's tchilasa b'pshia and sofo b'pshia as far as the issue of theft is concerned. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. Triangles appear in two different directions. On the side under the Mivne heading, we indicate that the first triangle, point facing up, Kusha al Rava, de Poter will be raising a question on Rava, who indicated exemption in the case of Poshabov Yotzul Agam Umesu Kedarka. The inverted triangle represents a kasha on Abaye that says there is guilt. The Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rava. Abaye asks on Rava. Note, we have a long question here. L'didcha di Amris, according to you, who explained, used a concept to explain the your ruling of exemption by saying Malach Hamoves Mali Hocho Mali Hosom. After all, the animal died in the marsh. Even had the animal not been left out to wander, had the animal remained in the original Shomer's domain, it would have died anyway, so that the Tchila itself was not even an example of Pshia. It would have died anyway. Hi, the Oisve Rabbi Abba Bar Momo le Rabbi Ami. We saw before on Omid Aleph, we have an arrow. By all means, look back at to the arrow you see on the first wide line at the lower part of the page. We saw Rabbi Abba Bar Momo raising a question on Rabbi Yochanan. He raised the question, he presented it, the question to Rabbi Ami. In that discussion, Rabbi Abba Bar Momo was trying to show that Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer is Potter, which was contrary to Rabbi Yochanan, based on the case of the Socher, the renter, turning around and loaning it to a borrower, and it died in the domain of the borrower. And we saw in that case that the first Shomer, the Socher in that case, was exempt. And that was how Rabbi Abba formulated his question on Rabbi Yochanan. And what did Rabbi Ami do there? The Shoni lay, and Rabbi Ami answered that it's not a case like you thought of Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer, but rather B'Shenosu L'Bailim Rishus L'Hashil. The Socher received permission at the outset to loan it. The Socher, the renter, received permission to loan it out to someone else. And therefore, the problem behind Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer of Ein Ritzoi Mishim Pitoni B'Al Acher, I don't want my item in someone else's domain, became irrelevant. That's why over there it's not an example of Shomer Shemoser L'Shomer to be Chayav. Therefore, the Socher was Potter. So Abaye says, you know, if you want to explain why the Socher is exempt, couldn't another explanation have been given? Valema le, Rabbi Ami, who was answering Rabbi Abba Bar Momo's question, could have said, you want to know why the Socher is Potter? Namely, in general, Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer is Chayov. You want to know why over, like Rabbi Yochanan said, you want to know why over there the Socher is exempt? Because what happened in that story? It died in the domain of the Shoel. V'leimole, could Rabbi Ami not have said to Rabbi Abba Bar Momo another reason why the Socher is Potter? Malach Hamoves, Mali Hocho, Umali Hosom. Look, the animal died. What difference does it make whether it died in the case in the domain of the Shoel, or it died in the domain of the Socher? Had it died in the domain of the Socher would have been exempt anyway. So it's the exemption of the Socher is based on your reasoning. But yet Rabbi Ami did not say that. So Abaye's question is, from the fact that Rabbi Ami did not offer your explanation, your explanation doesn't hold. It's not a svora to say mali malachamoves mali hocha umali hosam. And the fact that Rabbi Ami didn't use that svora, the death of the animal is a straightforward case of oines. It's like a regular oines. And without the original owner giving permission to the socher, so then in fact there would have been guilt on the part of the socher. So just to review the main point, Abaye is asking on Rava, if your svara of malach hamoves, mali hocha, mali hosam, is a legitimate svara, so why didn't Rabbi Ami use that in explaining the exemption of the socher? Omar Le, Rava responds, Lididchu demasnisu, according to you, Abaye, that explain Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who spoke of Shoimer Shemosar L'Shoimer, is Chayav. That's a wrongful act, and it carries with it the requirement of compensation. And how did you, Abaye and company, explain that? I say, and company, this is with reference to the Rabbi Abba Bar Momol and Rabbi Ami, that all those that appeared before Rava entered the picture on the upper part of this Amid. So Rava says, according to you, Abaye and company, that the reason for Rabbi Yochanan saying Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer is Chayav is Ein Ritzoni Shepigdoni Biad Acher. I don't want my item in someone else's domain, so therefore the first Shomer is guilty in giving it over. Ika La'oisva Lahahi. Well, then there's good reason for asking on Rabbi Yochanan from that source, because what do we see in that source? We see a socher who's a shomer that gave it to a shoyel. We see a case of shomer shemosar l'shomer, and we see that the first shomer, the socher, is exempt. Oh, so we see exemption on the part of the first shomer. That's a good kasha. That's a good question to raise against your explanation of Rabbi Yochanan that Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer is Chayav because of Ein Ritzoni Shepigdoni Biad Acher. You see that from that question, until you get to Rabami's answer, you see that that's not a claim. After all, the socher was exempt. However, Rava goes on to say, L'didi De'amina, according to me, that it said that the reason for Shomer Shemosar L'Shomer, a first Shomer who gives it to someone else, Rabbi Yochanan says that that first Shomer is acting recklessly, based on the following. Ant Mehemnis Li B'Shvua, the owner can say to the first Shomer, I trust you with your oath. When you swear that you are not Poshea, I trust you. But the second Shomer, I don't know him. I don't trust what he says. And even if it died in the second Shomer's domain, I don't trust what he says that it died. Maybe he was Poshea. So Rava points out that based on my approach to Rabbi Yochanan, Lekalois V'Klal, there's no basis for even raising the Mishnah that Rabbi Abba Bar Momol raised. There's no basis for raising it as a question in the outset. Why? Because in that case, someone rented a cow and gave it over to a shoel. Who is swearing over there? The socher himself, the first shomer, is swearing. He is swearing that it died. So there, you don't have the objection of Shomer Shemusser LeShomer is Chayav, because I don't trust the second Shomer Shvua, but in the Mishnah, there it wasn't the second Shomer that was Nishma at all. It was the first Shomer, the Socher, that was swearing. And the owner, in fact, did trust him. So there's no basis for raising that as a question to begin with, says Rava. Mosiv Rami Bar Chama. This you will see is a question on Abaye. The source says, Helo L'Roshe Tzukin V'Nofla. A person was entrusted with an animal, brought it up to the top of a cliff, and it fell. Ein ze oines v'chayov. That's not an act beyond one's control. That's irresponsible, if you will, and therefore the shomer is chayov. Ha meisa kedarka. Had it died a regular death, hare ze oines u'poter. We can infer from this Tanaic source that even though the behavior on the part of the Shomer began with something that's reckless, because it's the way of animals, as Rashi says, to fall from cliffs. And you brought it to that situation. However, had it, let's say, not fallen at the cliff, but died a regular death, there would have been exemption from paying. That's what we're inferring from this source. V'amai, if you are correct, says Rami Bar Chama to Abaye, if you are correct that in the case of the animal wandering out to the marsh, and it died in the marsh, and you explained that that is not only tchilasa b'pshia, but it's also sofa b'pshia, because it died in the bad air of the marsh, why not say here too, v'amai leimole, let the owner say to the shomer, avira dahar katla, it's the thin air of the mountain that killed it. Inami, or could he not claim uftsina dahar katla, the fatigue that the animal experienced in getting up there is what killed it. Namely, using your addressing Abaya, using your analysis in the case of the animal dying out at the agam, that it was soifoi bipshia as well, here too it would be sofa bipshia. And yet we inferred that the only time there's guilt is if it fell from the cliff. But if it would have simply died up there on the cliff, he would have been innocent. The Gemara answers in defense of Abaye, Hocha b'mayaskinon, Shehelo l'mirish shomein v'tov. The Rashi explains, first we'll translate. Here is where the shepherd, who was the shomer, brought it up there to the cliff where there was rich grazing ground. Rashi, second line from the bottom, the mire shomein betov, the derech haroyim la'alois shom behemos liros. I believe from what Rashi is saying is that it's normal behavior for shepherds to shepherd their animals up there. And since it's normal behavior to bring them there, you cannot claim that the end of this animal was a function of pshia. The Gemara asks, well, if that's what happened, yachi nofla nami, so then even if it fell off the cliff, but you said it's the normal way to bring animals up there. So where was there any irresponsibility on the part of the shepherd, the shomer? The Gemara says, well, with regard to falling, shahoyaloi l'toikva v'lo tokva, the shomer or the shepherd should have grabbed the animal Rashi says, "L'toifa l'hachzik batu, hold tight on the animal, shekein derech harayim." That's the way of the run. That's the normal thing to do. And he didn't do that. He was poishea in that respect. I hachi, if the chiyuv is because of hayaloi l'toikva, that he should have held tight onto it, emo resha, state the resha, the first part of that Tanaic source. Also the roshei tzukin, v'nofla, hare ze oines. The animal went up to cliffs, fell off, that's a function of onus, and there would be no financial responsibility of making restitution. Yeah, but iboyalele mitkifa, the shomer should have held tight onto it. The Gemara says, lo tzricha, the case of the resha needs to be taught under the following circumstances. She takfasa vi also takfasa vi yarda. Rashi says, she takfasa al korchoi. The animal overpowered the shomer vi also and forced its way up. V'lo yochel lahachzik bo shechazok oisu mimenu. He was unable to overpower, to gain control of it. So that's why it's classified as an onus. The Gemara now turns its attention to Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, back on Daf Lamed Hey Omid Beis, where we saw the socher giving the animal to a shoel, and Rav Yossi pointed out or expressed his opinion that upon the death of the animal, the shoel is to pay the original owner. Omer Rav Yossi, Ketzan halo oisis chur b'forosai v'chulei. Omer Rav Yudah mar Shmuel halocha k'Rav Yossi. The Amora Rav Yudah rules in the name of Shmuel like Rav Yossi, that the shoel pays the original owner, not like the Tanakama that said that the shoel would pay the socher. Omer le Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda le Rav Yehuda. He asks, Amris lon mishmei de Shmuel. You told us in the name of Shmuel. Here, be careful. There are a lot of there's room for confusion with names. We have the original teaching was Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that we follow Rav Yossi, and now we have someone. We have a third Amora whose name actually combines the two names we just heard. So that could be confusing. So, with that in mind, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda asks Rav Yehuda, Amris lon mishmei de Shmuel. You taught us in the name of Shmuel. Choluk hoya Rav Yossi af barishona. That Rav Yossi disagreed with the Chachomim, even in the first Mishnah. That was the Mishnah in which we saw a Shomer who opted to pay and not to swear. And as a result, we saw in the first Mishnah, the Rishona, the first Mishnah, where the Chachomim said the Shomer is thereby entitled to the profits, to the Kefel. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is asking, you know, you said in the name of Shmuel that the Tana Rav Yossi would disagree even there. Namely, that the fact that the Shomer paid the owner, that doesn't entitle the Shomer to the Kefel. Rather, in that case, when the Ganav is discovered, the double payment will be made to the owner, even though the Shomer paid as his option instead of swearing. So the question is, halacha kamoiso ein halacha kamoiso? Are we to follow Rav Yossi in that case as well? Omar le Rav Yehuda responds, cholukoya Rav Yossi af barishona. Yes, Rav Yossi disagreed in the first Mishnah as well. V'halocha k'moisa af b'rishona. And we will rule like Rabbi Yossi even there, that in the case that the shomer pays instead of swearing, and the ganav eventually is found, the kefel will be paid to the original owner, not to the shomer. Itmar Nami, Omar Rabbi Lozer, it was also stated by Rabbi Lozer, Cholukoy Rabbi Yossi af b'rishona, v'halocha k'moisa af b'rishona. The halacha that Rabbi Yossi in fact disagreed in the first Mishnah, and the halacha will follow him. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Now, here note our markings. We have a house marking around Rav Yehuda and his approach to Rabbi Yossi with regard to the first Mishnah, and now Rabbi Yochanan's approach to that very same issue. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Moide Hoya Rabbi Yossi Borishona Shikvar Shilem. Rabbi Yossi will concede that the Shomer is entitled to the Kefel because he already paid. Before the thief was discovered, the thief paid. He paid for the principal value of the animal that was stolen, and therefore that entitles him, the Shomer, to receive the Kefel. Rabbi Yossi would agree with that. The Gemara asks, Shilem in lo shilem lo, are you suggesting that only if actual payment was made, then the Shomer is entitled to the Kefel? But if actual payment was not yet made, he would not be entitled to the Kefel? V'omer Reb Chiya bar Abba Reb Yochanan, did we not learn back on Daf Lamed Dalet, lo shilem shilem mamish? When the Mishnah says shilem, it doesn't mean actual payment. Elo kivon shomer hareini mishalem. At the point that the shomer expresses intent to pay, afapi shelo shilem, even without the actual payment being made, that entitles him to the kefel, to the double payment. So what you are saying now, namely shekvar shilem, are we to say that this is against with that which was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself, that shomer is entitled even with the mere expression of intent to pay? So the Gemara answers, no, there's no contradiction here in Rabbi Yochanan's, but rather state moide hoya Rabbi Yossi barishayna shikvar omar hareini mishalim. Rabbi Yossi concedes in the first Mishnah to the opinion of the Rabbanon that a shomer who merely expresses his intent to pay, he thereby gains rights to the kefel. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.